Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You come here and let us share and enjoy the ladies you brought in.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let us look to you for the truth and the word.
Thank you, Father.
And know out in our lives.
Yes.
So that the world sees more of you and less
yes.
of us.
Yes, yes, Lord.
I just thank you and I praise you for this opportunity that we can come here.
Yes,
in a
Father.
Free country. Have transportation to get here.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I just thank you, Lord, for everybody here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Did anybody have anything they wanted to say out of Psalms 42 before we go into 43? 43 is pretty short. It's only five verses. So.
It might be when that door closes. Prop it open and see if she can hear me then. Because that happened last week. Can you hear me now, Margaret? It's when the door closes. I thought that last week. Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, last week when we did Psalm 42, I love that first verse there. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And you know, I love that song that we used to sing, as the deer panteth mm-hmm. for the water, so my soul longeth after thee.
Yes.
You alone are my heart's desire.
Yes.
And I long to worship thee. I mean, that song, it just ministers to me every time I hear it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just love that. I mean, that's, you know, we need to have that desire. And you know, I think we even need to ask God to create a hunger in us, you know.
Yes.
And create even a thirst for his word and for the reality of him, you know. But I just wanted to go back and just touch on that a little bit. I love that verse and that song, because that song is just a great, great song. Okay, we'll go ahead and start into 43. It says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against all ungodly nations. Deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. And you know, it's been my experience in life that as I've went along, that even out in the world, in your worldly affairs, if you do your job and do what you do out there as unto the Lord, that God has a tendency that he delivers you. He lets you know things, and he literally... I mean, sometimes it will actually amaze, well, it shouldn't amaze you, but it does, because, mm-hmm. you know, God's such an awesome God. But so many times, even when people are trying to work against you in something, mm-hmm. God will let you know. And all of a sudden, it'll get turned around to where it really didn't work the way they thought it was going to work. Mm-hmm. I know there was times... you know, when I worked at that other company that I used to work at, when the shop superintendent, who was my boss, you know, and I was over like actually the biggest department there, and the guy that was over me, which was not a very good thing for him to do, but he would use me sometimes to provoke the other guys, because he would tell them, like, if I could tell them where parts were and where things were, and some of them couldn't, then he'd hold me up as an example, you know, which naturally made a lot of them tend to resent me. And there would be times when they would actually try to work against me, you know, and when like, because we had to keep track of all the parts that we ran, and there was times when I would have as many as 300 or 400 jobs coming through that department. And, you know, I would have all these parts ready, and then someone else in another department would run some different parts of something that I didn't have ready. And I used to control the majority of the parts in that manufacturing. And, you know, but it was kind of funny because it always never really worked out the way that they would try to do it. And you'd know what they were doing because they got the same printouts and everything that I got, you know, on what was what parts we had finished and what was almost ready to be assembled and all that kind of stuff. But it was funny because you could actually see them trying to work against you. But God would usually turn it around somehow, you know, to where it didn't work. And, you know, I honestly believe that when we ask the Lord, Lord, let me do my job, let my business affairs and all that be as unto you. And when you do that, I believe he's going to make it to where it's all going to just fall into order, you know. And the next verse says, for thou art the God of my strength. And you know, we got to realize with David, David had some problems at times. David was a troubled fella. he knew what it meant to that tribulation worked patience, and patience experience, and experience made him not ashamed because the love of God was shed abroad in his heart. He knew about that. It says, for thou art the God of my strength. Why doest thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And you know, most of the time I've found out that when you go mourning around because you think people are against you, guess what God really does usually? He shows you that it's not really, he's not really dealing with the other people. He's dealing with you. I used to have a boss at one time. And I've shared this before, but that guy could push all of the buttons in me that was pushable. He knew he could push them. And Bob would probably know him, but it was Bill Hofer. And Bill was very abrupt, and he did a lot of umpiring. You know, he was an umpire. And I mean, he acted like an umpire, you know. I mean, as everything was his way or no way, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, you know, when I was still running the machine, I was one of the last operations in my department because I did ID grinding a lot. And it was one of the last operations in my department. And if there was mistakes on a part, a lot of times I would see that there was a mistake on that part, and I would try to stop it rather than let it go on to, there was one more operation usually after I got done, and that was usually where they would cut gear splines on these shafts and stuff, and then it would go to assembly. And if I saw that the part wasn't right, I would try to stop it, and I would go and say, Bill, you know, this part isn't right, and I'd tell him what was wrong with it. Well, his reaction was not, well, thanks for stopping it, Oscar, and we'll start making it over, or we'll see if we can fix it. It was a lot of times to snatch the print out of my hand and throw the part in the floor and start cussing or something. That's the way it was, you know. And, man, I tell you, that would just flare me up. I mean, I'd have to back way off. And I don't know how many times over the years that I prayed and said, Lord, change Bill. Lord, change Bill. Lord, change Bill. I prayed that and prayed that and prayed that. And guess what? The Lord never changed Bill. Guess who he changed?
You.
Me. That's right. And so many times, when you know, in our life, you know, it's like David here when he's saying, you know, why dost thou cast me off, and why go I mourning of the oppressed and of my enemies? And then he's saying, O send out thy light, thy truth, and let them lead me, and let them bring me into unto thy holy mountain, holy hill, and unto thy tabernacles. And you know, what he does is when he brings out the light, he brings out the light inside of you.
Yes.
And he lets you know that, you know, what's really bothering you usually is something shortcoming in you. It's not, I mean, the other person might need some work, but he's not working on the other person at that time. He's working on you.
Yes,
you know.
Lord.
And, boy, I tell you, I learned that firsthand. Mm-hmm. And I've even shared this. I've had a couple times when I went on the night shift, before I was a supervisor. Bob worked with me after I was a supervisor. But before I was a supervisor, they come and asked me to go on the night shift a couple of times because they got in the hole. And I went on the night shift, and Bill was the day shift foreman. But every time that they asked me to go on the night shift, guess who came on night shift and was my foreman? Bill.
Couldn't get away.
No, Lord would keep putting me back in that situation time and time again. Well, after a while, what happened was he got where he couldn't push the buttons anymore. God started smoothing the buttons down to where they were a little below the surface, and he couldn't push the buttons anymore. And, you know, then actually what ended up happening after that, I got Bill's job eventually, you know.
And
he was retired. He retired. But, you know, it's one of those situations where a lot of times we don't realize that God uses the situations and the circumstances out there more to perfect you. That, you know, you think, well, bless the Lord, I'll come to church, you know, and I get rubbed a little bit with brothers and the sisters. Let me tell you what, most of the rubbing don't go on out in here. Mm-hmm. It goes on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Old Testament, just to give you an example of that, when Solomon built the temple of God, David had supplied all of the things that were needed for the temple. And he literally, and David was a type of Jesus Christ. And I got news for you. In God building the temple in you and in me, God has supplied everything that's needed for building that temple. But also what he said was, he told Solomon that there was not to be the sound of a hammer in the building site. And think about that. That think about them building this building here, and they're not to be the sound of a hammer in this building site when they built this building. You know what that would mean? That would mean that when you brought everything together, it would already have to be pre-cut, pre-fitted, and fit perfectly the way it was supposed to fit. And you know what? That's what God does with us out there. That's what he was doing with David here. He was pruning him. He was chipping away at him through his enemies and everything else. And that's what he does inside of us. When we come to realize that he's the master. He's the master builder. And he will use people sometimes. But a lot of times it's the most unlikely people. It's not necessarily the preacher preaching a sermon or the brother who comes up and gives you a prophetic word or whatever. But it's that guy that always takes your parking spot or pulls about 4 inches over into your parking spot, and you can't get in yours when you get to work if you got assigned parking. Or it's it's that person that gets out of their car at the shopping center and lets their door go, and it hits the side of your car, and you're sitting there thinking, I know I got a big scratch in my door on my car.
Or the person in line where it says 20 items, you got about 3 or 4, and the one in front of you's got about 40.
Yeah.
And that 20 item line.
Yeah. But you know, all of those little things are the very things that polish around on us a little bit and chip away a little bit and everything else. And to a certain extent, that's what he was saying to David. But you know, at least David had the sense to pray and say, "Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill, thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." And you know, if we want to go, I got news for you. If we want to go to the hill of God, so to speak, that hill is made up of people. You're part of that hill. And you know, one of the Psalms says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and has not lifted up his soul unto vanity." Well, vanity literally is self, you know, it's selfishness. It's you know, you see someone who's just always primping or whatever, and people, they won't say it to that person, but usually they'll say it off to the side, person. What a vain person. You know, and we all have some of that in us, you know. But the neat thing about it is we will become literally the mountain of God as we come to a place where he begins to work all of that vanity out of us and all that selfness out of us. And that's what he's trying to do with us. And that's when I believe we'll begin to ascend into his hill, you know. And I believe we have to do that through praise and through not really laying things to people's charge. You know, there's a scripture that says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be harmless and blameless, the sons of God, to whom you shine forth amidst a crooked and perverse nation, to whom you shine forth as lights in the world. And you know what? The only light that a lot of people are ever going to see as far as the light of God is what they see in you.
Yes.
And what they see in me.
Yes.
And until we get to the point where we don't murmur and dispute and we don't always have to be in an argument with everything that's going on and all that kind of stuff, then that's when, to be honest with you, that the light will begin to shine and people will begin to see the glory of God, you know. Okay, I'm going to be quiet. I've said a lot. We've got a couple more verses here, and then I'm going to read you a little bit of stuff here in a minute. Anybody got anything else they want to say?
The reason why we rely, you know, so many things that we share on the way down here are things that God has spoken. We have prayer meeting on Friday and things we've shared.
Mm-hmm.
It's just reconfirmed when we get here. We look at each other. We're identifying, mm-hmm. you know, with it and thinking just so many things we shared on the way down here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about how God won't let us get away with anything because he's after us, you know, coming forth in his image. And this morning on the way, I woke up almost 4 o'clock something. And this song was coming to me, and I kept saying, what am I singing this stupid little song? But when I came over the hill coming here, I forgot about it because I got up and bathed and everything, got dressed. He came back to me, and God showed me what he was speaking. Uh-huh. But it was, one way or another, I'm going to get you. Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
And I said, what am I singing this? And I turned and went back to sleep. But when I got up, I forgot about it until we come here, and it came to me, and we were talking about how God is not letting us get away with anything and how he's wanting us to come forth in his image and how he uses all things, you know.
Right.
And he was showing me that, yeah, he's going to get us because he's not letting us get away with anything.
Yeah.
And we said, Lord, get us.
Lord. Amen.
And we were sharing that when we came in and everything. But we just thank God for
you
this fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes,
I did.
Just
song with him. But we just thank God for the confirming of his word and what he's speaking and, you know, giving, you know, unto us. And we come here and then it's just beautiful.
I think that's what we have to realize. Brother Oscar, when he started the session out, I think he made a comment, something like, you know, in David's life, David encountered a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, and we read a whole book full of David's stuff, but I think that we've got to keep the fact in mind that David was a chosen vessel
mm-hmm.
of the Lord.
Yes.
And I mean, there's a whole lot of folks that go through this life that just go to church 1 hour on Sunday and they live beautiful, spotless, perfect lives, never any tragedies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see a man like David. I mean, if you're chosen, like you were saying, Brenda, I'm going to get
mm-hmm.
you. And I think David is just a type of a son of God. That God chose him to know God, the power of God, and to become a mature son of God or a manifestation of God's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the reason why David went through all the challenges and the trials and
mm-hmm.
you know, the tribulations, the temptations,
mm-hmm.
In order to bring him to the place where God wanted him to be.
But don't you see it in your life too?
Yeah.
I know you share.
Yeah.
Thank God for all the beautiful.
All right, let's go ahead and go to verse 5 then, and then I'm going to share another scripture and then share some other things I got written down here. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul?
Yes.
And why art thou disquieted within me? And I like that. You know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why am I down in the mully grubs? Why am I letting this get to me? Why am I letting this bother me, you know, so much? You know. And then he goes on and he says, and here's part of his answer. Hope in God.
Yes.
For I shall yet praise him.
There's a sermon on that.
Who is the health of my countenance and my God. And that pretty much sums up this whole psalm. David, and we're like that. We go up and down and up and down and up and down.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going to keep going up and down until after a while it's just
yeah.
straight.
Yes.
And you know, I like what I believe it was, and you know, I believe it was one of the ministers that came here years ago. He used to talk about is. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Is a present tense now word. Mm-hmm. Is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is not a future word. It's not a past tense word. It's really is. Right. Something that is, it is. You know, you can't change it. You know, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, and the thing with God is, when we get to that place to where, you know, every valley will be exalted, every mountain will be brought down, and when we get to that place, guess what? We'll be on that is plane where it's
yes.
all level and it's all straight and it's all the same.
Yes.
And I think the more that we come to realize the sovereignty of God, and the more we come to realize that he is in control of everything,
yes.
then we can quit having necessarily the euphoric things, and it's good to have the euphoric things, but then also having the real deep valleys where we're down there. And you know, most of the things that you learn in life, you don't really learn them on the mountaintop. You learn them in the valley most of the time. And when we come to realize that he is, and that's a present tense now word, and that he doesn't change. He isn't up and down. He isn't backwards and forwards. He is. And when we get to the point where people can say, boy, that person over there, they is.
Yes.
We're just level. We're not up and down, back and forth, you know, and all that stuff. Now, let me read you that in the Amplified Bible. And I like this. It says, why are you cast down, O my inner self?
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
Why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me?
Mm-hmm.
Hope in God and wait expectantly for him.
Mm-hmm.
For I shall yet praise him, mm-hmm. who is the help of my sad countenance and my God. I like that.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
Now, you know, in this it says inner self, and in the King James it says, oh my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to read you this. This is out of a reference book I had. And I believe your soul is made up of your mind, will, intellect, and your
yes.
emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But also I believe that the soul is used for a housing for the spirit
yes. mm-hmm.
to come into.
Mm-hmm.
And the word for soul here is the word nefesh. And when God created man, you know, he created him a living soul. And he created him a living nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here's the definition that they give here. And I agree with some of this and some of it. I don't exactly agree with it, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Nefesh is a word complicated by its almost universal translation into the Greek, psyche or It's the word psuche, you know, in some way it's pronounced sometimes, from which we get the English word psychology. And guess what psychiatrists do? They work on your psyche, or on your soul. More often than not, however, the soul in the Old Testament does not always refer to spiritual, emotional part of a person that can be disconnected from the body of life. Soul refers to the person as being as a longing person after a longing person after God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Adam became a living soul, or living nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes nephesh is used for the throat, the thought which the breath of life passes through. I like that. That's good. You know, showing that the word in the Old Testament's usage does not mean the spiritual part of a person, but rather a person with all kinds of longings, sensual and more than sensual. So the soul is often frightened, despairing, weak, despondent, disquieted, even bitter. It can also be satisfied, happy, and at rest with God and itself. So I like that. But, you know, but let me read you something else up here. And I was looking at this, and I'll tell you where this is from. This is from a little book called Morning and Evening, okay? And it says, most of us know what it is to be overwhelmed in heart and emptied as when a man wipes a dish and turns it upside down. Submerged and thrown on our beams in, like a vessel mastered by the storms, discoveries of inward corruption will do this. If the Lord permits the great deep of our depravity to become troubled and cast up the mire and the dirt, disappointments and heartbreaks will do this when billow after billow rolls over us. And we are like a broken shell hurled to and fro by the surf. Blessed be God, at such seasons we are not without all-sufficient solace. Our God is the harbor of the weather-beaten sail, a hospice of the forlorn pilgrims, higher than we are. His mercy is higher than our sins. His love higher than our thoughts. It is pitiful to see men putting their trust in something lower than themselves. And boy, we do that a lot. We put our trust in possessions. We put our trust in a lot of things, in jobs, and things that are really lower than what God created you to be, you know. But anyway, it says, but our confidence is fixed upon exceeding high and glorious Lord, a rock. He is, since he changes not, and he is a high rock, because the tempest which overwhelm us and roll far beneath at his feet, he is not disturbed by them, but rules them all at his will. And you know, that's scripture, Psalm 61:2. When my heart is overwhelmed, it says, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And you know, thank God that we have that rock, and we're founded upon that rock. And even though a lot of times in our soulish nature at times we fall way short of things of how we picture we should be in God, and we find ourselves even doing things that are very disappointing to self and to other people, you know, thank God that he's higher than that rock, and that his mercy is higher than our sins, his love is higher than our thoughts, you know. And he's higher than I. Thank God that he's higher than I. Yes, you know, Lord. And you know, he wants to elevate us into that level as we quit laying sins to the charge of other people, and also quit laying them to our charge.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, you know, Paul said in Romans the 7th chapter, he said, that which I would not do, it seems like I'm ever doing it. And that which I would do, it seems like I can't do it at times. You ever find that where you tell yourself, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. Guess
you
what?
End up doing it.
Guess what? You might as well just say, I'm doing it tomorrow. You'll find yourself right back out there doing it.
Never say never.
But you know what? We have to say, Lord, I'm going to give this thing to you.
Yes.
You deal with me. You deal with whatever it is. You have to do the changing. I'm willing to change, but yes. I don't seem to have the ability sometimes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And I think when we, yes, if we'll do that, we'll find that he is that rock,
yes,
that's so much higher than us.
Yes.
And that we can run under that rock even for safety. Mm-hmm. You know, that scripture in Psalms, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Mm-hmm. you know, and we can run under his wings, you know, and run under his presence, you know. And anyway, but...
That song, Rock of Ages, God was giving that to me this week, cleft for me, how we can hide ourselves in thee, you know.
Yeah, right.
And he was bringing that.
You know, there was a lot of truth in them old songs, and,
yes.
and we kind of don't sing them much anymore. And be honest with you, they're great songs.
To.
They were based on the truth of the Word of God.
Yes,
we read the words.
And
it's more about the being higher than I.
Yeah. Rock that is higher than I. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and read you the rest of this. It says. If we get under the shelter of this lofty rock, we may defy the hurricane. All is calm under the lee of that towering cliff. Alas, such is the confusion in which the troubled mind is often cast. And we need piloting of this divine shelter.
Yes.
Hence the prayer of the text, O Lord our God, by thy Holy Spirit, teach us the way of faith, lead us into thy rest.
Yes.
And you know what? We have to constantly be looking to him in everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I tell you,
yes.
when we start trying to do something in our own strength and in our own power, what we find is we always fall short.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are constantly casting ourselves upon him and telling him, Lord, you know, I'm just trusting you today. I'm trusting you to make changes in me that needs to be made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trusting you to in all these situations, I don't care what the storms are or whatever. You know, I was thinking of that gospel song this morning. I was trying to pull it up, and I couldn't pull it up. But I do like this song, you know, The Anchor Holds in Spite of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a great song. And you know, the anchor in God... We're saved by hope, and hope is the anchor of our soul.
Mm-hmm.
And the word for hope has the meaning of to anticipate, usually with pleasure. And the way we learn to have hope in God is what it says in Romans the 5th chapter. It says, tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it works hope in us. That's how we come to find hope, is by past experiences that we've had in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one time when we should look back to the past and say, well, Lord, I remember you met me in this situation a couple years ago, and you're going to meet me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank you that you're going to make me more than a conqueror. You're going to cause me to be what you say I am and not what I say I am, you know,
yes.
or not what my situations and circumstances
mm-hmm.
say that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got a couple other things I want to read you here. And these have to do with worry.
Mm-hmm.
Worry occurs when God is left out of the process.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? That's when
yes.
that's when it occurs, when God's
yes.
left out of the process. Anxiety is short-lived if we give it to God. How many times have you ever had a situation going on and it's took you maybe hours, sometimes maybe a day, maybe sometimes even a week, where you finally said, Lord, I'm giving this thing over to you. And boy, I tell you what, when we do that, the wheels start turning for the situation to either change in us or in the situation, one of the two. Next one here says, if you prepare for the future, you won't have to worry about it. Now, when I'm saying if you prepare for the future, the way you prepare for the future is if you acknowledge him
yes.
today. And
yes.
you do what he tells you to do today, you won't have to worry about the future.
That's right.
Because each day, he will supply your needs. He will take care of you each day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry as much about what you are, what you were. Wait a minute. Don't worry much about Don't worry much about where you are going. I'm reading that wrong. Don't worry as much about where you are as where you are going. Okay?
Yes.
There you go. Because you know you're right where God wants you.
Yes.
You really are.
Yes.
Rather than worrying about change, learn to thrive on it. And I like this one. Worry is a choice.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know that? That's true. And we don't like that because we think, well, yeah, but I didn't choose to have this thing happen. But you chose to worry about it.
That's right. Instead of trusting.
When we choose to worry, we are choosing not to trust God.
Yes.
Worrying can literally harm you emotionally, physically,
yes,
mentally, and spiritually.
Yes.
Instead of worrying about what you can't do, think about what God can do for you. Boy. It's
Lord
good.
Have
I mean,
mercy.
Yes.
You know, this. These quotes I'm reading you are out of a little book I've got called "Don't Sweat the Little Stuff."
Yeah.
it's true.
It always does. It ends up being big stuff.
It does. It always does. Mm-hmm. The best way to stop worrying is to start praying. Never confuse worrying about tomorrow with planning for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't worry about tomorrow. But you can plan for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Prayer changes things. Worry changes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one other little story I'm gonna tell you, and I don't have it written down here. But in this story that I was reading recently, this 8-year-old kid said to his mom and his dad and everybody that would listen to him, "I'm going to be the greatest catcher that there ever was." And his mom and his dad kind of got on him and said, "Now, son, you know, you're saying some pretty heavy-duty things there," you know. It was the gist of it. And this kid went on and he graduated from high school. He was getting ready to graduate from high school. And when he went up to graduate from high school, the person presenting his diploma said, "Tell him what you're going to do." And he said, "I'm going to be the greatest catcher there ever was." And they said, you know, people kind of snickered and stuff a little bit. And the guy's name was Johnny Bench.
I knew that Johnny Bench. Yep.
8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He had the vision. You know, and to be honest with you, with us, if we have the vision of "I'm going to be what God says I am,"
that's right,
then guess what?
You are.
You will be what God says you are.
Yes.
Not what your situations and what, not what your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And after Johnny Bench got up and became a professional, Casey Stengel, which was one of the old-time coaches, after he saw Johnny Bench play, he made the statement to the press. He said, "He's the greatest catcher that ever played this game."
Mm-hmm.
And this was an old-time. Casey Stengel saw all the old guys, you know, all the way up. And he said, and let me tell you what, even today, he is compared, all catchers are compared to him.
Mm-hmm.
He is the benchmark.
Yes,
and you know what?
Benchmark.
Jesus, that's right.
Benchmark.
Benchmark.
Yeah.
But he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Guess who our benchmark is? Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and you know
yes,
what?
Yes.
If we start believing that we are what God says we are, and we start confessing every day, "Lord, I am what you say I am.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to come into the fullness of all of that."
Mm-hmm.
Then you know what? I believe we can begin to move up into that and become all that God calls you to be. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Well, that's all I had to share. Anybody can jump in there and say anything you want.
You're
welcome.
That song that we used to sing, "I am under the rock, the rock is higher than I."
Yeah.
And then it would go on to say, you know, you think you'd be hiding under the rock. It says, "Go tell my enemies, I'm under the rock."
That's right.
Yeah.
The whole purpose
yeah.
is to bring your enemies to the rock.
Yeah.
And you're saying to those enemies, the only way you're going to get to me is to fall on the rock yourself.
That's right. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. Like that. Yes, praise yes, yes.
Praise the Lord.
Thank
anybody
you,
else?
Jesus.
Go ahead, Clyde. I go ahead. Bob.
What you just said about believing and confessing what God says.
Mm-hmm.
12th chapter of Proverbs, verse 6, the second half of the verse says, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them.
Amen.
Yes. That's very true.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
good. That's good.
Yes.
You know, Scripture also says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that you want to be like your big brother or like your heavenly father, and you begin to confess him every day
yes.
and begin to look direction from him every day,
mm-hmm.
then guess what? As you think in your heart, so shall you be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, we're a royal generation. We're a priesthood unto him. We're of the order of Melchizedek, if we believe it. And I believe it. I mean, and we're going to have to confess it more and more and more. But that order of Melchizedek is an order of blessing. It's an order of blessing. And that's why Scripture tells us to bless and curse not. So we should be trying to bless things when we're in situations and circumstances rather than allowing ourselves to get all worked up
mm-hmm.
and cursing the situation. And,
mm-hmm.
and boy, we do that sometimes. I mean,
yes.
and you know, if you are honest about it, sometimes you get aggravated and you find
mm-hmm.
yourself really going off. But I tell you what, it is usually
it's
isn't very
true.
Long, and the Lord starts dealing with you and says, whoa, wait a minute now. I don't treat you that way. I don't say that to you. You know what I mean? But praise God. Anyway, anybody got anything else to say?
Mm-hmm.
If not, we'll close.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you close in a word of prayer for us.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Praise you, Lord.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for your words, for their spirit, and their life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord, that your word encourages us, your word corrects us.
Yes.
Your word leads us, it guides us. And it stops us. It tells us where to go and it tells us where not to go. And Father, we started out this session by talking about a temple that was made without men's hands and that
mm-hmm.
you couldn't hear the sound of a hammer working on the temple. And Father, I thank you that what that means to my heart is that this work is being done by your Spirit.
Right.
It's
right.
not being done by any of my carnal works, Father. That's
no.
the noise of the hammer. That's the fleshly arm on a hammer
right.
that's trying to do his own chipping away, that's trying to do his own burning away. But Father, it's not by our might, it's not by my power, but it's by your Spirit.
Amen.
All we have to do is just see to it that our ear is nailed to the door, Father, that we're simply listening to you as we walk.
Amen.
And that through obedience, Father, we know that your word is true and that your word will come to pass. And that these old fleshly vessels that are sitting in this room will literally become the Word made flesh.
Amen.
So we give you all the honor and we give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise